the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
John Gibbons with us for our weekly last word on the environment. Today there was a report published by what's known as the Just Transition Commission, and it suggests a different way of using our agricultural land throughout the country. John, what is the Just Transition Commission? Who's in that and who gives it its powers?
Well, this is a commission that is formed or has been formed by the government, and its chair is Ali Sheridan, and it's bringing together, I suppose, specialists from a wide range of interests. It doesn't represent any one sectoral group, Matt. It's not a lobby for any particular interest.
Are the farming groups represented?
They would be represented, of course they would, yeah. The object of the Just Transition Commission really is to present to the government different pathways that we can best use our agricultural land in the future, because, you know, while it's privately owned, it's also a critical national resource for all of us, and of course we all contribute financially to that land. So it's a vital national interest, and I think land is often seen in Ireland as a sectoral interest. In other words, if you don't have land, it's got nothing to do with you. But the reality is that it's got everything to do with all of us, how land is used and how we work forward into the future. So among the recommendations, Matt, I suppose the first thing, and this is a statement of the obvious, we have a very unbalanced agricultural system right now. It's overwhelmingly dominated by livestock agriculture. Now, that's unfortunate for two reasons, particularly in the current environment. The first reason, of course, is that it is very, very carbon intensive. Specifically, it's a huge producer of methane, which is an incredibly powerful greenhouse gas. That's the reason why, for example, almost 40% of the emissions in Ireland, carbon emissions in Ireland, are just from agriculture. Across Europe, Matt, that's 11%. So we have a most unusual methane intensive. And it isn't just that this is from agriculture. It's really from one part of agriculture. And that is a livestock sector that has been very successful commercially, by the way. Total food and drink exports last year, about 19 billion. So this is a successful sector. But there is a huge price to be paid by the general public and by the wider community for that success. We're paying it, for example, in diminished water quality. We're paying it. And I think we're definitely going to be looking at colossal EU compliance fines. We know the range of between 8 billion and 26 billion within the next 5 to 6 years. And these really are coming down the line. I know, I can see you looking at me skeptically, but these really are coming down the line. Other countries, Matt, who have achieved their compliance are already queuing up to say, hang on a second, we signed up for this. Where's our compliance funding? And that funding will come from the non-compliers like Ireland. And unfortunately, Ireland, in terms of compliance, is almost the bottom of the list. And I'm sorry to say, but a huge part of that has been the fact that the agri sector, tied as it is to an expansionary model of livestock and particularly of intensive dairying, is going in one direction, and that is the exact wrong direction.
But it's feeding us, isn't it?
But it's not. That's the thing, Matt, right?
Well, it is and it isn't, okay? In the sense that, okay, we need to import lots of other food and drink, but we do need the dairy and the livestock output that we get, the meat that we get. And then we also sell it overseas to get money to pay for all of the other food that we import.
Okay.
So don't we need it?
Well, let's divide it up into two things. First of all, we could, I'm not saying we should, we could reduce our beef and livestock sector by 80 to 85%.
By how much?
No, by 80 to 80. I'm just saying we could, and nobody in Ireland would be short of either a beefsteak or a pint of milk or a pound of butter, right? The rest, as you said, is very much for commodity exporting. Now, that what we've seen really is...
And that's what pays the farmers and gives them a livelihood.
Of course it does.
And that, all the other companies that piggyback off that.
Sure. And that is a model. And that model, particularly over the last decade or so, we've seen the intensification of the dairy sector. This is after the lifting, as you know, of the milk quotas.
Now, which is about a decade ago.
Now, the funny thing is, Matt, that the milk quotas were lifted right across Europe, but pretty much the only country to gallop headlong into expanding this was Ireland. Now, I think part of that...
But isn't that because we are great at doing it, and don't we have the climate that allows us to actually have more cattle on good grass than they have in Europe, where they're suffering from all the scorching heat waves more than we are.
Well, at the moment, they're certainly ahead of us in scorching heat waves. There's no question about that. I suppose a couple of
better grass for our cattle to feed on in Ireland than cattle in continental Europe.
Well, let's talk about cattle feed. Because first of all, and I'm going to backtrack briefly, right? The UK Climate Change Commission, they recently warned the British government about a concern that they have about food security, about national food security. So what they're saying, Matt, is that Britain's 68 million population, that the British farming community is currently only capable of providing about 60% of the food eaten by that 68 million people is produced on the island of Britain. Now, if you transfer that across to Ireland and compare our food independence versus Britain, that they're alarmed about, right? We are importing approximately 85%, between 80 and 85% of everything that we eat. Now, yes, we have a big export model, but we're importing that. That makes us enormously dependent. The second thing, of course, is that you might say, well, hang on, surely it's fine because we're such big exporters of meat and dairy. Now, here's the question, right? In order to feed, for example, our rapidly expanded dairy herd, we are now importing about 5 million tons of animal feed every year into Ireland. Now, of that, by the way, about 2 million tons is just for dairy cattle. So this is vast. That's 40,000 tons of imported animal feeds coming from God knows where.
What's the harm of that?
The harm of that, of course, is that it means that we're carrying far more cattle than our land can support. Because to your point, if this was simply the Borbia idea that all this grass is magically jumping out of the ground and that's all that we require, well, then, of course, we wouldn't be importing 100,000 tons of animal feed a week, Matt. 100,000 tons a week, which is what we're currently importing, number one. And number two, we would be able to we wouldn't be able to continue down that pathway. So we've built this massive dependence, this huge dependence and growing dependence on imports. Now, of course, as well as that, if you go from, say, 19...
Sorry, would I suggest, could we not just make the animal feed for ourselves?
Well, the thing is, to make the animal feed for ourselves, we would obviously have to have an expanded tillage sector, right? So, for example, at the moment, the Irish tillage sector is about 7% of our land use, right? It has declined sharply. The reason tillage farmers will tell you that they can't till and they can't plant cereals is because they're outbid and for leasing land from dairy farmers, because dairy farmers are the ones making the big money. The average profit for a dairy farmer in Ireland last year, and this is a great commercial success, was over 150,000 euros per dairy farmer. So this is a vastly profitable sector. Beef farmers listening to us now will be adjusting their radios because they're probably less than 10% of that. So we've one sector powering ahead. And the thing is that the downstream costs, the pollution costs, the emissions costs, they're not being borne by that sector. They're free riders on the pollution side as they power ahead. And they've also, unlike other countries I could refer to in Europe, like, for example, Denmark, which this year has decisively changed its agricultural model, what we have in Ireland is a political system, a political class that is absolutely enthralled to a very small, effectively agri-sector in Ireland, but they completely dominate our politicians. And of course, the rural independents amplify that pressure.
And is that why you want to get rid of the Department of Agriculture?
Well, let me talk to you, Matt, if I might briefly, because this initially sounds a little crazy. But the Danes just had, back in March, they had what they called the pig election. And the reason it's called a pig election is that Denmark produces, they've got about 6 million people, but they produce about 30 million pigs a year. So vast amount of pigs. Of course, Danish pork and bacon is famous around the world. But with that intensive livestock system has come massive pollution problems in Denmark. There's been a huge public backlash against it. Danish investigative journalism, for example, they've gotten into some of these terrible intensive pig facilities. There have been documentaries, there have been books published about it over the last couple of years. And public pressure, Matt, 95% of the Danish public supported steps against intensive agriculture to protect their waterways. And also a big thing that's happened in Denmark is a huge increase in public concern about animal welfare. Because what we often forget in the middle of all these conversations about productivity and efficiency is the unbelievable suffering of huge numbers of animals. And we saw that, for example, across Europe at the moment, hundreds of thousands of chickens boiled to death in facilities, simply dying of heat exhaustion in huge numbers because, of course, the facilities that they're stored in, these intensive facilities, are not air conditioned. It wouldn't be cost effective. So these animals are literally baking to death in the heat. So there are terrible animal welfare issues. And just apart from the weather, there's huge animal welfare issues to be considered in this.
Okay, but how does that fit in with abolishing the Irish Department of Agriculture?
Right, okay. So to stay with the Danes for a minute, they have done away with the Department of Agriculture in Denmark, and they've replaced it with a new Ministry of Nature and Animal Welfare. So the Department of Agriculture, the Minister of Agriculture in Denmark is gone, right? And the functions have been divided among other departments. And the idea here really is we need to move away from what we have in Ireland. We have a Department of Agriculture and CHAGAS, which is the State Research Agricultural Research Agency, both of which are effectively captured by the agri-industrial lobby. They're out branches of that lobby. They've controlled it to the extent, for example, CHAGAS, which benefits to nearly 200 million euros a year in taxpayer funding. CHAGAS is essentially a livestock research organisation. That's all they're interested in because, guess what, that's their mandate as they see it, is to simply push one model. What we should, of course, have instead of CHAGAS is we should have an agricultural research agency that is sending their best people off to look to Denmark, to Holland, all around the world, to look at the best models that are most suitable for our changing climate.
And you would replace the Department of Agriculture with?
Yeah. In my modest proposal here for Ireland is that we replace the Department of Agriculture and CHAGAS with the Department of National Food Security. Because let's kind of get right back to brass tacks. The reason, for example, that vast amounts of money is transferred, and rightly so, from the European Union into the agriculture sector through the CAP is food security. After the Second World War, the big issue in Europe was starvation and hunger. So we've been incredibly successful in securing our food supplies within Europe, but in many respects, we've been too successful. And we now come out the other side, and we've got to come up with a model that is sustainable, that allows food production to match the needs of the population and is also environmentally friendly. So what we have instead are industrialized food processes, like we've seen in Denmark, like we see here in Ireland, that are not delivering food security. So in the case of Ireland, Matt, we are unbelievably exposed to any kind of a major downturn, for example, interruption to our sea lanes, which would lead to not just our supermarket shelves emptying, but also food shortages for our animals, because they too are dependent on imported feeds and imported chemical fertilizers, a million tons a year to make that green grass grow.
Okay, very quickly, does this mean, would you like to see a sort of halving even more of the national herd of cattle? Would you like to see us export far, far less, give up the jobs that we have that people depend on in the agri sector?
Well, for example, I'm just back from Holland where I looked at some of these things, and they have a horticulture sector that produces about 38 billion euros a year, and they do it on a fraction of the land used by livestock here in Ireland. Their horticulture sector alone, Matt, employs more people, full-time and part-time, than the entire Irish agriculture industry. So the thing is, our current agriculture model, the livestock one, is there's very little employment in it. The average age of farmers in Ireland is now heading for, I think, 59 to 60. We need a new model. We need to get young farmers in. We need to pivot sharply towards vegetables and towards fruit production here in Ireland. And I think that the land use, and by the way, in addition to the Just Transition Commission, we also had a government land use report that's saying the same thing.
John Gibbons, thank you.
The Last Word. With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.